going to look at some characters in the Bible and choose and select a character trait from one of these individuals, for each of these individuals, and we'd expound on the trait, and these are traits, character traits that we should all emulate. And today, last week, we spoke about endurance, and we talked about the endurance of Noah and how Noah, 100 years for God's promise to come true, and Noah stayed in the race. Today, we're going to talk about the character trait of love. Not just any love, but really true love. Not romantic love necessarily, but true agape, which is unconditional love. The story begins in Samaria in about 752 BC in Samaria, Israel. Israel was very prosperous at the time, not unlike the United States of America. Israel had forgotten the God of Abraham, and Israel was kind of following its own path, but it was all good because life was swell. Life was good. And so Hosea was a young preacher, and his job was to tell the people, say, hey, you have forgotten your first love. You need to come back to your first love, or else bad things are going to happen to you. But people are living the good life. And so they were not interested in hearing what Hosea had to say, but he was a reputable man. He was a good man. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. Now, every good man deserves a good woman. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Every good man deserves a good woman. And especially if you're in ministry, I would say that it's even more so. So, thank you. So, Hosea says, oh, well, I'm going to get myself a wife. Now, one of the things that you see that I'll do in these character stories that I'm going through is that I'm going to expound on these, because if the Bible expounded on every single detail of everything, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it all. But I want you to know that the Bible talked about people who were real characters. They're real human beings. And so whenever you hear a situation in the Bible, many times as you're reading through it, you should just stop and pause and say, what if that were today? How would this really play out? When God spoke to somebody, how does that really play out? Unless the Bible says, and God appeared through an angel or something like that. But generally speaking, God speaks the same way as through people. Over again, through the scriptures, through thoughts and impressions that he puts in your mind that are validated by other people. And we did a series on that. So as I go, I'm going to expound on some things in the Bible. And some of them you're going to ask me, well, Pastor Gary, how did you get that? And I'll tell you some of them. And others, you just got to go with me. In film, they would call it, what's it called? There is some term for it. Writer's embellishment or whatever. Pick some term for it. So Hosea says, I need a good woman. So I imagine Hosea being a man of God, prayed to God and says, God, I need a woman. I need a good woman. And there's this girl that's down the street. Her name was Gomer. Now, you know, she had to be really pretty because Gomer is not the prettiest girl name at all. Not cute. And so Hosea sees this Gomer girl, and I imagine he goes to the Lord and says, Lord, I need a woman, and I see that Gomer lady, and Lord says, well, take Gomer as your wife. The Bible actually tells us that in Hosea 1:2, that he says, take Gomer, your wife. Now, Gomer was, it says there in some translations, says that she was a prostitute. The reality is that as I studied this more and more, I realized that Gomer was not a prostitute. Gomer, let me see if it says it here. Gomer, which says, go take yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. The key there is that last phrase. You see, Israel had forgotten their true God, and God called that whoredom, that they took their what belonged to God, and they gave it cheaply away to Baal. They gave it cheaply away to other gods. And so when God is saying there, go take to yourself a wife of whoredom, he's saying, take that girl of Israel means that everything that Israel did, this girl was doing, right? So Israel was partying and having a good time. This girl was a party girl. Israel had no problems with premarital sex. This girl probably had no problems with premarital sex. I don't believe, and I'll tell you why later on, that she was a prostitute. She was just a product of her society. So in essence, Hosea took himself a non-Christian woman in today's world, a non-godly woman in the Old Testament world. And he took himself, this girl, to be his wife. That's pretty bad. It's a preacher taking a worldly girl to be their wife, but that's what Hosea did. Now, we see the story continues, and as the story continues, you know, we imagine that Hosea and Gomer turns into Homer. Hosea goes to her father, Diblaim, that's her father's name, and he, because it's custom of the day, and asks Diblaim for his daughter in marriage. And I can imagine that the father was probably happy because Hosea was a good guy. And most parents would want their daughter to marry a good guy. And I imagine that Gomer probably wasn't even asked, because back then they wouldn't even ask daughters. The father arranged it and they get married. So Gomer gets married to Hosea. And by all accounts, the marriage started out being a very good marriage. They started out, and we know this because sometime after they get married, they have a child, and that child is named Jezreel. And so, Jezreel, and it means God plants. It's a nice name, God plants. This is a really good name. But something happens between that first child and a little bit later on. A little bit later on, we see the marriage going sour and the marriage going bad. And you can read all of this as Hosea 1 through Hosea 3. And as you read it, God parallels between what's happening in Israel and what's happening in the life of Hosea. Right? So as you read it, you have to read through it and a number of times before you realize the parallels that are there. But I'm telling you a story strictly from Hosea's perspective. So things starts going a little bit bad, and Gomer gets pregnant again. Well, this time, it's not for Hosea. Ooh. She has a daughter. And then a little bit further on, she gets pregnant again. And guess what? It's not for Hosea. Es scandalo. You guys watch Scandal, Jimmy Kimmel. Very scandalous. Now, the Bible doesn't tell you why Hosea and Gomer's marriage went south. It could be because Hosea was out preaching every day and not home. And Gomer is home every day lonely. Could be. It could be because when Hosea came home at nighttime, instead of spending time with Gomer, he's gone to his study to go and study what he's going to preach about tomorrow. We don't know. It could be that Gomer was just a bad nut. It could be that it was all the above. We don't really know, but we know the marriage went south. And so you're looking at me, you say, well, Pastor Gary, I read through that passage, and I don't really get that. I don't really get that. And there are three reasons why I believe that what I just said is true. The first, I'm going to give you all three reasons. The first reason is this. Hosea is only listed as the father of one child. In verse 3 in chapter 1, he said she became pregnant and she gave Hosea a son. And that's pretty cool. She gave Hosea a son. But just a couple chapters later, in chapter 6, she said she became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. Hosea's name is not mentioned. And in verse 8, she became pregnant again and gave birth to a second son. Hosea is not mentioned. So you may be saying, well, Gary, that's kind of lame. You know, maybe the writers of the Bible, maybe you're reading too many things into it. So I'm going to give you reason number two. Reason number two. I wish I had a number two. Number two was the name of the kids, give it away. Now I want you to check out the name of these kids, right? The name of these kids, the first one name is Jezreel, which I mentioned, which says God plants. God plants. And that's a nice name. But look at the name of the second kid. The Lord said to Naaman, second king, name your daughter Ramiah, which means not loved. Can you imagine you're that daughter and you get a name of not loved, right? You get a name of not loved. Every day that she walks around and says, hey, not loved, guess what you are? You are not loved. I don't think Hosea would name his daughter not loved if she was loved, if she was his. And then look at the name of the third child. The third child was named Lo-Ami, which means not my people. The literal Hebrew says not my kin or not my family. I don't think Hosea would name his son not my kin if it was his kin. There's a saying in Jamaica, when I was growing up, my dad used to say this all the time, that Hosea was wearing another man's jacket, which simply means that he's wearing another man's overcoat or carrying his wife as, or a woman has attributed a child that's not his. But there's a third reason. The third reason is this, is that Hosea himself tells us so. He says the mother is a shameless prostitute and became pregnant in a shameful way. She said, I'll run after other lovers and sell myself to them for food and water, for clothing of wool and linen, and for olive oil and liquor. It says drinks, but it's liquor. But you see, so what happens is that you see that the whole thing is like falling apart. She goes out and she starts to have fun again. She starts fun again, and Hosea goes through what any other person in that situation do. I want you to imagine that what's happening in the church at that time. Can you imagine the gossip that is happening in the church at that time? Let me play it out for you. What would happen? Imagine if it were today. It's like, ooh, man, you heard Pastor Homer is like dating this non-Christian girl. Pastor Homer is dating a non-Christian girl. Man, I heard that she sleeps around. Like, somebody better tell Pastor Homer. Like, man, I'm not telling Pastor Homer. Hosea, he should know. But Pastor Hosea, he actually got married to that girl. Like, ooh, man, I guess it's all right now because they have a son, and they're coming to church together and they're worshiping together. So I guess she got salvation. I guess she got Jesus. But a little bit later, I was like, no, she didn't get no Jesus. Man, we haven't even seen her at church in a while. Pastor Hosea's wife is not coming to church anymore. Wow. Hey, Pastor Hosea's wife is pregnant again. Wow, Pastor Hosea is black and she's black and the child is blonde. Oh, man. Man, can you believe that? Can you believe that? Man. Pastor Hosea, oh man, she's pregnant again? This time it's a redhead. And Pastor Hosea is not really saying anything. He's just naming them. Not my kin. It's not my child. He's like, somebody asked him, Pastor Hosea, is that your child? He's like, I don't know. What's her name? Not my child. Okay. But the shame. But he goes through what happens there in chapter 2. It tells you that he goes through a whole range of emotions. And his emotions, he tries, and the Bible says that he builds a thorn bush around her, which means that he makes it difficult for her to leave the marriage. That, not unlike what somebody who doesn't want a divorce does. They probably, you know, take money out of the bank account. And they probably threatened them with, you're going to be paying child support all your life. You're going to be paying me alimony. They go through all of this stuff. And the Bible says that's like thorn bushes to get out. And he tries everything. He pleads with her. He begs with her. He does everything. And she busts through the thorn bushes and they get a divorce. It tells you that in Hosea 2:2. He says, she's no longer my wife and I'm no longer her husband. They get a divorce, and the funny thing that happens after they get a divorce, Hosea still loves her, and he loves her, and he loves her. And you may ask, well, how can he love her? He just does. And this story is like the most incredible story. It's like a Lifetime movie. You guys ever watch that Lifetime channel? It's like every time women watch it, they start crying. You guys ever heard of a singer named Robin Thicke? He does a Apollo album. Robin Thicke is this singer that he cheated on his wife and his wife left him, and he wrote a whole album, a whole of songs begging her to come back. And so what happens here is that Hosea does something even worse than that. Hosea goes and he buys clothes and he buys medicine and he gets money and he goes to Gomer's boyfriend and he says to Gomer's boyfriend, hey, I'm concerned about Gomer's not looking too good anymore. Can you give her these clothes? Can you give her this money? And can you give her this medicine? Now, many of you may say, and he's a chump. But that's what he does. He goes and gives her. I don't even know if I have a slide about that. Oh, yeah, it says in Hosea 2:8. Oh, he gives it to her, and she, what do you think the boyfriend does? The boyfriend, this is like the most incredible story. The boyfriend doesn't, of course, he doesn't tell her that it's Hosea that he gave the stuff. So she thinks that all this stuff doesn't come from her ex-husband. It comes from somebody else, and she gives credit to somebody else other than the one who gave her this blessing and who bestowed upon her this blessing. And he said here, she doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has, the grain, the new wine, the medicine, which is olive oil. I even gave her money, but she gave all my gifts over to Baal. Baal, which is means to somebody other than the one who it should be attributed to. So Hosea can't take it anymore. He's like, enough is enough, finally, right? He's like, he says, enough is enough, and I can't do this anymore. And Hosea lets her be. And she goes off and she sinks deeper, and she sinks deeper and deeper. And over some time, her looks fades, and, you know, her shape fades, and she starts to look old and haggard, and that's my embellishment inside there because of what happens next. She's in a point where she is so bad off that she can no longer command her price, because before that she became a prostitute and was selling her body for money, and she can no longer do that anymore. And so she's this one dude, and she's probably indebted to this dude. My guess is that she's probably, if it were today's world, she'd probably be on drugs. And the dude would be like a drug dealer. Because she was indebted to this dude, so this dude's like, I can't get her to sell her body because nobody will pay for it anymore, so I'm going to sell her into slavery. And that slavery was most likely sex slavery, in addition to regular slavery. And that's where we are at the beginning of chapter 3. At the beginning of chapter 3, we see Hosea knows all of this because they have kids together. They live in the same town, and he knows what's going on. And I don't know what conversation that Hosea has with God. I really don't know. But somehow Hosea gets this inkling that he needs to go show love to his wife again. Now, I don't know whether Hosea says, God, should I go and show love to her still? She's in this merely messed up state. Or God said, Hosea, you need to go show love to your wife again. We don't really know, but I believe that Hosea never stopped loving her. And when Hosea saw her in the condition that she was in, Hosea's heart broke. And he says, God, should I go get her? And God says, go show love to your wife again. And so we have Hosea going out to the slave auction. And back then, many times, slaves were stripped naked and put on the block so people could see the condition of the body to know what they were getting. And so he's on the auction block, and here, can I get 2 ounces of silver? 2 ounces. 2 ounces. Can I get 3 ounces of silver? Anybody? 3 ounces. 3 ounces. 3 ounces. Can I get four ounces? 4 ounces. Get anybody? Five ounces. 5 ounces. Can I get 6 ounces? 6 ounces. Can I get 7 ounces of silver? No takers. 7, going once, going twice. 6 ounces, and all of a sudden a hand goes up in the back. 6 ounces and 10 bushels of barley. We know Gomer's in bad shape because Exodus 27:13 tells us that back then a slave, the average price of a slave was 12 ounces of silver. She was at 6 ounces and Hosea threw in 10 bushels of barley. Now what we know about Hosea is that that was probably everything that he had. He emptied out his bank account and he had no money left, and then he went for the food which was going to feed his animals to provide for the next day. He put it all on the line for Gomer. For Gomer, he put it all on the line for Gomer. And he got her. And the passage goes on to say that he says, I only ask one thing of you, is that you be faithful to me. And I promise to be faithful to you. And he even goes on to say that I'm not even going to have sex with you, pretty much, until you're ready. Take your time and heal. And he nursed her back to health and nursed her back to the woman that she was supposed to be. The Bible is actually silent after that point, which to me tells me that it all ended well. And you say, Pastor Gary, that's an incredible story, man. That's an incredible story. You took 20 minutes to tell that story. And you may be thinking that, wow, I like that. And so, you know, what's the point? And for those of you who know the story, know that the point of the story that's really straight out there tells you that it was parallel what was happening in Israel at the time. Israel had forsaken God, and God used Hosea's story, Hosea's situation, to use it to minister as part of Hosea's message to the Israelites. To say, look, you have forgotten me, and I'm chasing after you. I'm chasing after you because I love you. I love you, Israel. I love you. I'm coming after you. And so Hosea could speak from a point of experience. He felt it. He knew it. He could speak from that point of experience. And it's really good. And you could even stop there and say, okay, I get the story, and we could all go home. But it's very easy to overlook, really, that the message today is not about Israel. The message is not about Hosea. The message is about you. The message is about me. And the message is that God has an intense love for us. And God is fiercely jealous for us. We sang that song, He is jealous for me. And that jealous word has a negative connotation. But God was like, look, man, I went out and I died for you. And I died for you because I didn't like where you were heading. I have a better plan for you. And God knew that people were going to reject him. And God said in his infinite wisdom, it says, if there are 100 people to be saved and 99 rejects me and 1 accepts me, it's still worth dying. So when he says he's jealous for you, he's jealous for you. I tell you, God loves you with an irrational kind of love. That love can't be explained. And God is calling us to that same kind of love for one another. But he demonstrated that through Hosea and through his irrational love. God is calling you to love you irrationally. There are four things that God wants you to learn today from Hosea's story about love. Number one, God is calling you to love you irrationally. He's loving you with a crazy Hosea kind of love. You know, the other thing, the second thing that God is calling, God wants you to learn from Hosea today about love, is that he's pursuing you with grace and favor. He's pursuing you with grace and favor. In chapter 2, we see Hosea bestowing grace and favor to a woman who didn't even, probably if she knew it came from Hosea, she probably didn't even want it anyway, that it was coming from him. And she had rejected him, and she ran away from him, and Hosea's running behind her, giving her money, giving her clothes, giving her medicine. And God is doing the exact same thing for you today. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing me with grace and favor. You might say, man, I don't even know what happened. You know, many times we get blessings and we attribute it to somebody else or something else other than the one who gave it to us. You get a good job. You say, man, I worked hard. I went to school. I went to school and I studied hard in school. And I got my BSc, my PhD. So yeah, I've reached. You may have a great wife and you're like, I got lyrics. Well, some of us has prayed and God does drop a beautiful woman in their lap. But many times we say that we got lyrics and, yeah, man, I'm cool, I'm buffed. Last week I told you about how buff I was. It didn't work for Donna. We have money. But I want to ask you a question. Who gave you the brain? Everything that you have is a blessing from God. And by the way, nobody has it all. Everybody that you think has it all, they're missing something. And that's why we need each other. There's a plug for small groups and plug for close relationships with a group of people. And so God is pursuing you. And he told the psalmist David in Psalms 23, he says, surely your goodness and your unfailing love, the King James says, your mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. Man, anything that good that happens to you is God's favor and grace just pursuing you and chasing after you and chasing after you. And I like to say, you know, many times we try to run from it. We try to attribute it to something else. But it's God's grace and mercy just chasing after you, running after you, because he loves you with an irrational kind of crazy kind of love. But there's a third thing that God wants you to learn about love. God is loving you with an unstoppable love. He's loving you with an unstoppable love. And, you know, when I think about that, I think about Romans 8. And it says here in Romans 8, it says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know if you get that, right? I don't think there's many things that's left out there. It says death, life, angels, rulers, things above, things below, powers, height, depth. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. You can go to God and you say, God, I don't believe you exist. As many people do. I don't believe you exist. And it still can't separate you from the love of God. You can say, you exist, but you don't really have any impact in our lives. It still can't separate you from the love of God. You can say truth is not truth, but truth is truth. Truth is universal. Truth is not relative. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You could have dirty laundry, figuratively speaking. You may have real dirty laundry at your home. But I'm talking dirty laundry in your life. and it still can't separate you from the love of God. You could have skeletons in your closet. You could have whole ravens in your closet. It still can't separate you from the love of God because he died for you. It's like an unstoppable love. It just keeps coming and coming. And no matter what you try to get away from it, it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming after you. And, you know, there's a song that Siobhan is going to sing in a couple seconds here. It says, no sin, no shame, no past, no pain can separate me from your love. It's no height, no depth, no fear or death can separate me from the love of God. God is pursuing you with an amazing, just like some serious power. He's pursuing you with power and glory, with an unfailing love that never ends. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on it goes till it just overwhelms inside your soul. God is loving you with this unstoppable love. And he's pursuing you. And many of you are running away from that pursuit. God's like, look, man, I got a better life. I got a more satisfying life. I got all this stuff for you. And you're like, no, God, not yet, not yet. I'm going to give this up. But God's like, look what you're getting. You give up 10 cents to get $10,000. And you're holding on to your 10 cents. And God's like, I got 10 grand for you. Hey, wait, I got 10 million for you. And you're like, no. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'll hold on to my 10 cents because I know I have it. God says, I'm chasing after you. I'm chasing after you. So like, you know, no matter how much you try to run away, he says, I'll wage a war. I'll wage a war to come back after you. As Siobhan is going to sing the song, and just one more thing I'll tell you this morning. The thing that I'll tell you this morning is our point number four. It's that God is waiting on you for a response. I want you to imagine this morning. I tell you, when I read the Bible, in order for the Bible to come real to me, I put myself in the place of the person who's writing the Bible, who's recounting the words of God. And God is like chasing after you. He's chasing after you. He's chasing after you. He's chasing after you. And guess what? Today, he's caught up with you. And you know what you just did? You ran behind a door and you closed the door. And God stands outside and he's like, says right this. He says, listen. I'm standing right here at the door and I'm knocking at your door. Can you hear me? Because if you hear my voice, I want to come in and I want to have fellowship with you. I want to sit down with you. I want to talk to you. I want to share some good things with you. I got all kind of grace and favor that I want to give to you. And he's like, I'm waiting on you for a response. As Siobhan is singing this song, I want you to like think about, as Daniel to put it on, put it back on Easy Worship. I want you to think about the words of the song. The song ministered to me as I was listening to it. I was preparing this message, and it really was really where the thought of the title came from. The song is called Unstoppable Love. And that's what God is offering to you this morning through his son, Jesus Christ.
Gave your life for, you would come running.
end of our service. Just keep playing there. God, song says, God, you pursue me with passion and glory, with an unstoppable love that never ends. He's saying, my love, you're worth it all. As we stand for closing, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And as Kevin and Lord come up front to, if you want to know about this love of Jesus, you want to stop running. You want to stop running. And Philip, can you come to the front, please? Philip, can you come to the front? And if you want to stop running and answer that knock on the door where Jesus says, listen, I'm right here. I caught you today. I got you. You can't run away. You are faced right now with a decision. Are you going to open the door or are you not? And some of you may be here that says that I'm already saved, but you're saved, but you're giving some of the blessings that God has given you to Baal. It may be work. It may be, I can't do this because I'm working too hard. God's like, look, man, you only have that job because I gave you that job. If you want us to pray with you, whether to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or to say, hey, help me get through this. Lord, I need your power to help me get through this. I want you to just come forward and our counselors will be praying for you. And I want to take it back to the man. It says, take it back from God, you pursue me. Take it back to God, you pursue me. And the altar is going to be open. And I'm just going to pray right now. And as we sing the last part of this song, going through that chorus, going back into the bridge. At the end of my prayer, you're free to leave. But I really encourage you to just come and just take that unstoppable, that crazy, irrational love that Jesus Christ is offering. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for Jose, and he used him marrying a non-Christian, a non-godly woman to show us what irrational love looks like. Lord, I pray that this morning that we will respond to that knocking at the door and that calling. Calling says, hey, are you going to let me in? You going to let me in? I got $10 million for you in exchange for your $10. Amen. The altar is open. You're free to go, but they're going to be singing, God, you pursue me. We'll be up front.
God, you pursue me.